Sam and Lee remained inside the warmth. Only Stanton came to see them off. The snow was driving in, great clumps falling and settling everywhere. It softened the harsh lines of the century-old ruins, reducing visibility to less than 100 paces. The light armored vehicle was designed to take a crew of only three, and it was a tight squeeze with five of them inside. JB took over the driver's controls, and Christy settled herself behind the automatic cannon. Mildred and Doc niggled ill-temperedly as they squirmed their way into bits of remaining space. Finally, Ryan climbed on the outside, ready to take the commander's seat. He held on to the blasters of Stanton and his two men.
So long, and thanks.
Stanton blinked up at him, snow gathering on his head and shoulders. His eyes glittered in the golden lights of the twin headlights. Ryan had just decided that he wasn't going to get a reply when Stanton finally spoke.
Good luck in finding the boy, Ryan. If you get yourself too big a problem, you could maybe come see me.
I thought you were going to have me chilled on sight.
Damn it, you're right. I was, wasn't I? Well, just make sure you do it to them before they do it to you. And hey, be careful out there.
Is that from Highway Patrol again?
Nope, Hill Street Blues. Good luck.
Ryan lobbed the weapons down into the snow at the feet of Harry Stanton.
Did Stanton just shoot at us? Maybe we ought to get moving fast.
No worries. Steel like this would stop most anything.
Just his way of saying goodbye to us. Come on, driver, let's go.
Nearly 9 tons of armored steel lumbered forward as JB struggled to master the controls. It was a bit like steering one of the immeasurably vaster war wags. The Lav had top speed of more than 60 miles an hour over good metal, but its effective range on a full tank was a lot less, about 500 miles if it was coaxed. In the command seat, Ryan had switched on a small overhead light, studying the map that Harry Stanton had so thoughtfully provided for them. It marked all the main avenues and cross streets, indicating which no longer existed because of the nuking, or those that had been permanently blocked. The fringes of the Scalies' territory were shown in a thin dotted red line, though Harry had pointed out that this was very approximate. You never quite knew where you might suddenly find yourself among Scalies. There were a number of blocks set up to stop any attempt to attack their underground headquarters from above, which left only two alternatives: get down into the sewers and passages with them, or circle out into the river from an entry point farther north, up toward West 46th Street, then come in slow and careful, feeling your way past the ruins of the old docks. And this was where Harry's neat map became vague and blurred.
Shit. I guess he never got anyone in this deep.
Several times the wreck wag slithered sideways in the deepening snow. The brakes protested, and the whole vehicle shuddered.
Dark night, like driving a mule up a ladder. Can't see properly through this ob slit.
Take it easy, JB. We get jammed in this and we're in serious shit.
Can't get the brakes to bite properly. Think they're iced up.
Might it not possibly be something to do with their extreme age? I have a similar problem myself.
Yeah.
You all right?
Sure. Just got some dust in my throat. Feel great. Good to be back on the road again.
Soon have to be making a sort of detour. A right and then left after two blocks. Left again and then another right and left.
Well, by then we should be far enough north to head toward the river. The map shows a place where the road slopes in gently.
The snow continued remorselessly. There were heaters inside the lav, but they were overridden by the icy air that lanced in through the open obslits. The only good thing was that there wasn't likely to be any kind of ambush. Nobody would be out in a storm of this intensity. Though a couple of minutes later, Ryan had a strange and unsettling vision. Out of his side window, he saw a figure moving alongside them. His instrument repeater showed a speed around 15 miles an hour. The eight wheels lurched and bounced over rubble and deep potholes against the background of the roaring engine. And there, only a few yards away, Ryan could just make out a child, a frail elfin little girl, looking to be in her early teens. She was dressed in a variety of russet rags, orange, brown, and faded yellow, that whirled around her as though she were the epicenter of an autumn storm. Her face was pale, the eyes dark and intense. Ryan didn't say anything to the others. The creature danced, barefoot, he noticed, leaping effortlessly, never slipping or falling, the snow seeming to part in front of her.
Make a left here, JB. Better slow down so we can see where we're going.
The engine grated down through the gears as the wag rumbled up to the junction. The near side wheel slipped for a moment and drifted snow, then found purchase, making the vehicle jerk to the right.
By the three Kennedys! This is worse than a Frisco cable car!
Ryan peered out, squinting against the cold wind and the wet snow that found its way in through the obslit. He glimpsed the child for one last frozen moment. She had pirouetted on the points of her toes. Then she vanished in front of the turning nose of the armored vehicle.
No.
Dark night!
Ryan waited for the thump of the impact of tons of steel against a frail body. But there was nothing.
What happened?
I don't know. Thought I saw someone or something right in front. But it sort of skipped out of the way and vanished.
Just keep going.
This is no good, Ryan.
Brakes?
Partly that. Main thing is, I can't see more than about 20 yards. Worst damn blizzard I think I ever saw.
Maybe we should stop a while and wait it out.
How's the time?
Time we get where we're going, it'll be close on midnight.
I think we should keep going, lover.
You feel trouble?
Feels bad. I think we should keep right on moving.
Hear that, JB? Take it slow, but keep going.
You know where we are?
Yeah, of course. Well, sort of. I reckon we're about one block south and two blocks east of where we want to drive into the river.
Forgive a note of doubt from an old man's fevered imagination, but are you certain this tin box is truly amphibious?
Sure.
Ryan knew that this kind of light-armored vehicle had been designed to travel with equal facility on land or on water. Ryan pushed to the back of his mind the nagging doubt that the past 100 years might have diminished the wreckwag's efficiency. Christie's feelings weren't to be ignored. Whatever the risks, they had to keep on. The same Scaly as before had tried to put the make on Dean during the evening, only pulling away when an officer shouted at him to get back to his guard post. The squat muti bent low over the cowering boy.
That the deepest part of night, little one. I'll be seeing you then. Get ready for what I'll give you.
It patted itself on the crotch and grinned, showing its double row of reptilian teeth. As it waddled away into the darkness, Dean relaxed. His right hand let go of the hilt of the gutting knife he'd stolen earlier. They had all the obslits open, and everyone had pressed their faces to the freezing air, trying to see anything that would tell them where they were. But the snow was still cascading down, producing whiteout conditions in the streets. In a narrow compartment in front of his seat, Ryan had found a thick booklet covering driving and maintenance, but the section on amphibious use had been torn away. Something nagged at Ryan, something about precautions, but it kept sliding away as he concentrated on navigating for JB.
See anything, Ryan?
No, but we should...
And the armored vehicle began to fill with a gushing flood of icy river water. Ryan held onto the metal bar at his side, but the impact was so severe that he bent it away from its fixing point. He lurched forward and took the initial wave of cold, salty water full in the face.
We must close the obslits!
It felt like the cumbersome lad was going clear to the bottom of the Hudson. Ryan managed to slam the hatch shut, locking it tight, but he was already soaking wet.
Mildred! I'm stuck!
I can't reach past her to shut the port!
The vehicle still hadn't stopped plunging, and Ryan was conscious that they were also being moved slowly sideways by the current. There was another solid, jarring thump, and they tipped over farther.
Got to close that ob slot! Can you reach it, Christy?
I'll try. The water's 20 below freezing, and I'm soaked. I think it... Yeah, I got it. Sorry, Doc.
Don't apologize, my dear young lady. Having my mouth filled with the toe of your boot is a small price to pay to render us a mite more waterproof.
Gradually, like a mortally wounded whale, the wag seemed to be stabilizing itself, becoming level and rising steadily toward the surface of the river. The engine was still reluctant to fire properly, but at least it was running.
I got control!
Ryan had fumbled in the chaotic darkness and located a small periscope. He raised it and looked through the lens. He couldn't see a thing, couldn't even judge whether they were underwater or whether they'd broken the surface.
Everyone all right?
Wonderful.
Cold, wet, and bloody miserable.
Surviving, lover.
We above the water yet, Ryan? I'm stone blind here.
I'll risk opening the obsolete. Rest of you keep them shut.
Only a few of the dim lights inside the vehicle were still functioning. Ryan screwed his eye up, shaking wet hair off his